We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Final hour, Willie P. in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Hope you're enjoying us inside the Mobile Kia Studios. Number 21 Tennessee has a 21-6 lead on Missouri. That game is in the third quarter. Other games of action right now, or in action right now, I should say. They've reached the third quarter at the Swamp. Florida leads South Carolina 24-14. Georgia State leading East Carolina 35-13. And this is a little bit of a surprise. TCU has kicked the field goal as they approach the halftime in Darrell K. Royal, Texas Memorial Stadium. The Horned Frogs lead the Longhorns 20-14. So a little bit of an upset brewing inside the Big 12. Of course, Texas, you wonder if they're looking ahead the next week. They will play the Red River Shootout as normally scheduled at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, neutral site contest. And again, I feel like if there's one thing that's the kind of the surprise right now of a lot of people when it comes to these games that take place at neutral sites, they're still going to be played, just like Florida, Georgia, colloquially, of course, known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, even though we're not allowed to call it that. I still call it it just because I like tradition. The Red River Shootout is what the old name for the Red River Rivalry used to be, but I still call it the Red River Shootout to me. And again, that's also in conjunction with the Texas State Fair. Oklahoma's already lost this season to Kansas State. They play today against Iowa State, so I'm wondering if there could be a look-ahead element there, too, as well for the Sooners. Same thing happening right now. Sam Ellinger has not looked good for Texas in that contest. Again, they trail by six. 5 of 16 for 132, two touchdowns and a pick for the Longhorn QB, who many believe is on that second tier of quarterback behind Lawrence, Fields, and Lance. Kind of those are the top triumvirate. You would probably put Lawrence ahead of Fields right now. Of course, we haven't seen Fields play this season. We will see that a little bit at the end of the month for Ohio State. And, of course, Trey Lance of North Dakota State trying to follow in the footsteps of his alma mater buddy, Carson Wentz. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with me, Willie P. You can also do that via the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line on Twitter, at Willie P. Style, where I give a shout-out to my man, Dr. Ronnie B., who has a suggestion for the Falcons' big segment. He wants to call it the Falcons Saturday or Falcons Weekend Walkthrough or just the Falcons Walkthrough. So Falcons Walkthrough has a nice ring to it, just because Saturday is usually the day that you have the walkthrough. By the way, we will not be here this next weekend because we will have that Oklahoma-Texas game on our air here on 92.9 The Game. So no Willie P. on Saturday next week. We'll return the following week after. But I'll still be here for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show next week, Sunday, as the Falcons get ready to take on the Panthers. Hopefully they are 1-3 by that point. And why do we talk about that? Because we got to tell you what's happening.
Peter, what?
What?
What's happening?
Falcons and Packers, Monday Night Football. So you have all Sunday to watch the entirety of the Week 4 slate. It's a pretty good one, although one of the games that was on that slate will not be played, at least on schedule. Patriots and Chiefs will not play this weekend because of the fact that Cam Newton has tested positive for COVID-19. Newton getting that positive test back on Saturday morning. Chiefs also have a positive test in their building. Practice squad quarterback Jordan Te'amu, who ironically was providing the scout team look for the Chiefs, basically when they were in practice. So from that standpoint, both of those quarterbacks have been quarantined, will not play, will not suit up for their respective ball clubs. Right now, the NFL postponing the game to try and get more positive or try to get more tests out there for the rest of the team, and also to perform contact tracing to see if anybody came in contact with both Newton and Tayamu. The likely landing spot for that game looks to be possibly Tuesday night, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, but still nothing confirmed, at least on that scheduling. We'll keep you updated on that as we go throughout the day today here on 92.9 The Game. Nick Kale takes you from 3 o'clock till 6:30. Perhaps get an answer on that definitive game either later on today or tomorrow. The Patriots still have not traveled to Kansas City for that game, so that's part of the reason why they have postponed that contest. Again, I give you the opinion, just saying, why didn't this happen for the Falcon game last week against the Bears with a positive test? Maybe the fact that you have positive tests on both teams, the outbreak from the Titans certainly comes into question as well. They now have 16 positive tests in their building, 8 players, 8 personnel. But be that as it may, a little bit of a different situation right now going on with New England and KC. They've moved the Colts-Bears game, originally slated to be played in the early window, will now kick off at 4:25 and air on CBS. As for the Falcons and the Packers, Monday Night Football, here's DQ, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, speaking on our exclusive conversation that took place on Dukes and Bell about a very balanced Green Bay squad.
This team has terrific balance as they're starting off in their first 3 games. You see that in their rushing attack. They're averaging almost 170 yards a game or somewhere in that spot. And they're leading the league in scoring. So they're having real balance in terms of how they're doing it. And that adds to their time of possession. So going against them, you've really got to be aggressive and make sure that you take your shots and you're able to deliver on them when those moments come. It's not just going to be in the end of the game. These moments could come up first quarter, second quarter, third, all the way through the game. And so they're off to a good start offensively. Certainly, the featured players with Adams on the outside and Jones at running back. But defensively, they've got some rushers. You see that for sure. Kenny Clark has always been a lot like Grady inside, just disruptive and strong and makes plays. So it's a heck of a matchup all across the board, both, all 3 phases. And we're definitely looking forward to it.
That, of course, involves Dan Quinn and the Packers Monday night. Week 4, we'll also see the return of Julio Jones, who provides his plan of attack against the Green Bay defense.
For us to be able to attack Green Bay, just take what they give us. If they're going to double me and single the other guys up, I'm looking forward to those guys making plays. Or if I get singled up, I'm looking for myself to make plays in the ballgame.
As Julio Jones, who will play this week, who will not play? Well, 3 Falcons, primarily. Ricardo Allen will not play. Neither will Keanu Neal. The 2 safeties will be replaced by Jalen Hawkins in the Falcon lineup. DeMonte KZ will be back on the field for the Falcons. Still no word yet on A.J. Terrell whether or not he is in the COVID-19 protocol, looking like he will not play because he has not practiced all week for the Falcons. Younghoe Koo also will not kick for the Falcons on Monday night. Elliott Fry will be elevated from the practice squad. Former Bear, also played on a bunch of different practice squads. He's taken tryouts with the Falcons before, but he has not played an NFL game yet. He, of course, out of South Carolina. Other games in Week 4, Bucks, Chargers, Lions, Saints, Cowboys, Browns, Bills, Raiders. Other games in college football today include Alabama and Texas A&M. That's the 3:30 kick on CBS. Georgia and Auburn, Deep South's oldest rivalry. 10 minutes from right now, we'll hear from Mike Griffith of Dog Nation about not only who's starting a quarterback for Georgia, but how they match up against this Tiger ball club, who in Week 1 beat Kentucky. Of course, Georgia had themselves a victory over Arkansas 37-10. It will be the Braves and Marlins in the baseball postseason beginning Tuesday in Houston. Other series inside Major League Baseball's final 4 matchups include a couple of very intriguing series between Houston and Oakland, the Yankees and the Rays in the American League, Dodgers-Padres in a divisional matchup as well on the other side of the NLDS. Atlanta United taking on DC United tonight. Pre-game coverage 6:30, 7 p.m. kickoff in our nation's capital. Ezekiel Barco is expected to return, and we're about a week away from the expected debut of newly signed designated player Marcelino Moreno. Lakers game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow after taking a 2-0 series lead on Miami, and that is what's happening on this Saturday here in Atlanta. 404-741-0929 is how you can get in touch with me, Willie P., on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line and also via the phones. Let's go to Mr. Combs, who's calling in Macon, and he joins us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Mr. Combs?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you, pal?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It's a beautiful sunny day down here in Macon, Georgia, and the weather is perfect.
Lovely. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a few points about the Falcons. As a fan, you know, I've been a Falcons fan all of my life, but I just watch. Now I've learned not to put that much energy into a win or a loss. You know, I just watch the game because I love football and I love the Falcons. So I just watch it, you know, and whatever happens, happens. So Monday night, I'm really not expecting us to win. But if we do, like you said, that'll be so Falcons-like. And I made a point. I've been making this argument about the Falcons and, you know, what's wrong with them and, you know, why they can't do what they need to do. And my assessment is that, you know, I hate to say it, but it's coaching, man, because that timeout that we did before that onside kick, the embarrassing onside kick, all 3, 4, 5 players did the same exact, idiotic thing right before that timeout. So my assertion is somebody, whether it was Dan Quinn or the special teams coach, somebody told or put something in their head to make all of them react the same wrong way. Mm-hmm. And that's just the embodiment of the whole team. Like, you got players, everybody fast and strong and can do incredible things in the NFL, every team, and everybody has injuries. So it boils down to the person telling them what to do and putting them in the place. And the players got to execute too, but it's even a bigger issue than that. I think it's just coaching.
Appreciate the call, Mr. Combs. Always enjoy the insight. You know, it's something that I talk about a lot, and we'll talk about this on Monday, myself and Hugh Douglas. He is not somebody who likes to blame coaching. He more blames execution. But the problem is, the last 2 weeks, the coaches have put the team in a poor position to win, especially when you were running the football as well as you were last week against Chicago in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, and you only run it once in the final 6-10 of the ball game. That, to me, is a glaring error. The onside kick, look, I understand the folks who get angry about the onside kick. The onside kick means nothing if you don't put yourself in a position to be dependent on recovering that. And so I feel like a lot of things had to happen to get you to that point. And because of that, that's why the onside kick burned you. Again, poor fundamentals. I'll agree with you on that. Ben Kotwicka certainly is called to the task because of that. But from the standpoint of the Falcons, they created their own mess by needing to be dependent on that. Thanks again to the call from Mr. Combs. 404-741-0929. Willie P. is in the building. We'll talk about Georgia and Auburn as early as it's taken place in a very, very long time with week number 2's matchup between those two big rivals. Who starts at quarterback and what do the Georgia Bulldogs have in store for Auburn? Mike Griffith joins us from Dog Nation next. Willie P. here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at radio.com. Willie P. is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. After struggling early, looks like Florida's coasting against South Carolina, 31-14. Tennessee 28, Missouri 12. Tigers just scored, but failed to get the two-point conversion down, so Tennessee has a 16-point lead on Missouri. Still 20-14, TCU leading Texas at halftime. NC State 17, Pittsburgh 13. Still to come later on today, A&M and Alabama at 3:30. And Auburn and Georgia playing each other under the lights at Sanford Stadium. And, of course, we're looking forward to that game tonight. And we're joined on the WadeFord.com hotline by Mike Griffith. Looks like we'll try to get him back. It looks like something happened with his line that went down there mid-sentence with us. But we'll get him back on the line and try to get him basically plugged into our conversation about this ball game that will take place on ESPN. Both teams come in 1-0. Georgia beating Arkansas last week. Auburn defeating Kentucky. neither team looked impressive early. Georgia finally got their sea legs in the second half, and Mike Griffith now joins us from Dog Nation and the AJC. What's going on, Mike? How are you, pal?
Doing great. How you doing today?
Not too bad. So I guess the $64,000 question on every Georgia fan's mind is who's starting at quarterback. If I had my druthers, I'd say Stetson Bennett. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think it probably will be Stetson Bennett. You know, you look at what Stetson did last week and, you know, 20 of 29 for 211 yards and two touchdowns in just a little more than 31 minutes really told you a lot about Todd Monken's offense. When you went to that air raid attack, you know, it was like all of a sudden Georgia came alive. The running game opened up. Receivers seemed to be getting open. And, you know, almost 290 yards in 31 minutes. I mean, obviously you can't prorate that out and say they're going to have 600 yards today. Auburn's considerably better. But, you know, you put that with the fact that, that JT Daniels hasn't played yet. He just got cleared. And being cleared and being comfortable are two different things. And when you got it, when you got the offensive line play that we saw Georgia have, there were some questions, the snaps, the play at tackle. I don't know that you want to necessarily – you know, put your breadwinner out there against Auburn early in the game because, look, let's be honest. I mean, Stetson Bennett might be able to beat Auburn, but you're not winning a national championship with him. You're not winning a national championship until JT Daniels is under center.
As far as Daniels goes, best guess on your mind, how much of the game plan do you think that he's been integrated into or how comfortable, again, you said his comfort might not be what it is. Where do you think he is in their mind?
Yeah, so the good thing about Stetson Bennett, and we were talking about him running the air raid, is that's why JT Dan, that's why his plane landed in Georgia in May. Okay, he didn't come here, you know, to run read option. He could have gone to a number of other schools, but he came here to work with Todd Monken. Obviously, Monken recruited him. I mean, JT Daniels could have gone anywhere. He chooses Georgia. Why? Todd Monken in air raid. So the good news about Stetson Bennett playing is that they run the same. They run the same offense. The offense that you saw Stetson Bennett run is what you'll see JT run. Now, I think Stetson's a little better than JT is the mobility. And not like you want JT running around a lot anyway, coming off a knee injury, but Bennett does give you that, you know, that scramble ability, right? You saw the conversion run. You saw the fourth and two conversion run. You saw him get 11 yards on a second and 10. And he's a decent runner. He really is. So, but the thing that JT gives you is he can take the top off a defense and stretch it out vertically as well as horizontally. The arm strength is just different. You're talking about an NFL arm. You're basically, you know, you're talking about someone very comparable to Jake Fromm, but with a stronger arm. And I got a lot of good things to say about Jake Fromm. He won a lot of football games. He's in the NFL for a reason. I mean, geez, Georgia fans, just imagine if Jake Fromm was still here right now. You know, this would be Jake's fourth year as a starter. And, you know, instead, you know, we've seen Dwan Mathis start. It looks like we'll see Stetson Bennett start. And I know, as you said, $64,000 question, a lot of Georgia fans want to see JT Daniels play before they believe in it.
Looking at the Georgia-Auburn game tonight, Mike Griffith joins us from Dog Nation here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. He joins us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As far as running the football, which we know is Georgia's bread and butter, 42 rushes for 121. I know they want to see that number get better. What do you attribute the struggles against Arkansas to? Is it sloppiness or something deeper?
Well, in the first half, it was, you know, you had 11 penalties for 98 yards. You had 8 penalties for 73 yards in the first quarter. And, you know, you put yourself behind the chains and now it's second and 15 or, you know, first and 15. And, you know, that just doesn't set up well for your run game. That, you know, we talked about the bad snaps. It doesn't just affect your pass game. It also affects your run game because it, you know, it takes the running back off their angles and the way they're going to hit those holes. And I was disappointed with Zamir White and James Cook in the first half as well. You know, Cook didn't have a good game. He had two drop passes and a fumble. So I wonder if we'll see Kenny McIntosh today. That's a guy that I look forward to. And I like what I've seen from Dejon Edwards, that kid from South Georgia, the little bits and pieces. Of course, Kendall Milton's a five-star back there too. But I wonder if we might see somebody new emerge in the backfield.
Auburn was a lot more balanced against Kentucky than they were the last time they saw Georgia. Bo Nix threw it 50 times against the Dogs last year, just 27 last week. Will they try to go to the air more, or do you think they're going to try to establish the run more against them this year?
It depends on, you know, the score, right? It depends on what the scoreboard says. If they fall behind Georgia, then they're going to have to go to the air early. But if it's a scoreless game and their defense is able to slow down the Georgia offense, then you can be more patient and try to establish the run. But here's a fun fact. Kirby Smart held Gus Malzahn to 14 points or less 4 out of the 5 times they played. Gus Malzahn only 1-16 at Auburn when they don't score 20 points. So unless Auburn can find a way to generate some offense and, or maybe make some things happen to special teams or turn George over and give themselves some short fields, I can't see them being that competitive. And again, this is just based on what I've seen. But guys, remember, I mean, Bo Nix was their leading rusher last week with 34 yards. That ain't going to cut it at Georgia.
Certainly not. And yeah, I think the biggest question in my mind, and I know he's got Seth Williams and you have to account for him, but I always put my hat on the Georgia secondary, especially going up against Auburn's receiving core. My biggest question to you is, do you think Bo Nix can win a game for Auburn of this magnitude on his own? I don't think that's the case. How do you feel?
I don't know that any quarterback can beat the Georgia defense on their own. You know, this Georgia defense is special. I don't think people really understand just how special they are yet. When you say good defense and everybody's eyes gloss over and they all nod and go, yeah, good defense. But these guys are special. I mean, this defense is a cut above. This is the best front seven in college football. And I think you got to have some element of balance there. Unless Georgia turns the ball over. Unless you make some things happen on special teams. But if this game goes chalk, this should be a 10-13 point win for the Bulldogs.
How are the Bulldogs health-wise in your mind, Mike? I know that Kirby very cryptic about certain injuries, but how are they health-wise outside of the QB position?
Well, you're hoping that you get Trey McKitty back, the grad transfer from Florida State, the tight end. He's a special guy. I think he could be a matchup guy. I don't think he's going to be quite ready. I know he said Kyaris Jackson was banged up. I think they need Kyaris out there. Kyaris, a guy that can do some things out of the backfield, or excuse me, into the flats when we talk about air raid and spreading the ball. Kyaris Jackson's a guy that you want to get the ball to. So those are the two that I'm watching for. But I think for the most part, they came out of that last game healthy.
Looking at the Georgia-Auburn game with Mike Griffith of Dog Nation, also the AJC, joins us here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. 7:30 kickoff from Sanford Stadium tonight. A lot of ink has been spilled on the fact that it's one of the earliest playings of the Deep South's oldest rivalry. What makes this game different in Week 2 as opposed to when we usually see it later in the year?
Well, I mean, this is a one-off year, right? It's COVID-19 year. It was going to be a game played in October anyway. That was something that Georgia wanted and Auburn wanted. They wanted to separate it from other rivalry games. Georgia didn't want to play it in the same month as Georgia Tech. Auburn obviously wanted to separate it from Alabama. They needed another dance partner, though, and that partner was Tennessee. So now you see a Tennessee game that's typically played early in the year that's going to be later in the year. To me, that's the bigger ramification because that's a game that could have SEC East Division consequences in November now. I'm not stuck on when you play a team like some other folks, you know. And I think it's glorious. It's an absolutely beautiful day in Georgia and Athens, and it's nice to have a nice weather game. And you know, I don't think weather should be a factor in it at all.
Yeah, it certainly is true. I mean, we do get kind of the fall-like temperatures as far as that goes, and certainly should be interesting for the folks who are, again, not tailgating, whatever the verbiage was. They had something weird where it said you can park your car in Athens, but you can't tailgate. It was something weird about that, right?
Yeah, you had to have a ticket to get into the parking lots.
Gotcha.
That's what it was. Yeah, and they wanted to avoid the big tents and barbecues and all that kind of stuff to maintain the social distancing protocols.
Yeah, certainly so. And you know, this is part of an early slate that also involves Alabama. Again, you were going to play them anyway. It just happens to be in this kind of stretch of games here with Auburn. And, of course, you mentioned Tennessee. And obviously now in this SEC, you know, we saw some teams kind of go by the wayside, look a little shaky. Alabama didn't necessarily look shaky. They looked pretty good against Missouri. As far as you know, though, where do you think, at least from the standpoint of the national perspective, we sit with the SEC? Do you feel like it's going to get two and no matter what, or maybe even three?
Yeah. No, I would think, you know what, I'm kind of going against the trend here because there's a 10-game schedule. I think it's more likely than less likely that the second team will have two losses. And because there's a limited schedule with no interconference play between conferences, you know, we don't have those transitive properties to work with. So I think it's more likely that you'll only get one and more likely that you'll get another team from another conference, especially when you consider the Big Ten's only playing an 8-game schedule. And I don't know what the Pac-12's playing, what, maybe 6 or 7?
Seven,
and, you know, how are they? Yeah. So how are they going to determine it? And if you could have a set, you could realistically have a Pac-12 team around the table and get in the playoff.
Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Looking forward for that game tonight, Mike, and hopefully Georgia comes up with a victory and looks ahead to next week.
Yeah, I think so, Will. I appreciate it, man. It should be a lot of fun. I know Georgia fans are on edge, but you know, I would just say to enjoy this one. I think Kirby's got his hand on the wheel.
Let's make sure that that certainly happens. As Mike Griffith again from Dog Nation joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Georgia comes in, by the way, a 7.5-point favorite in Vegas. And again, you know, not for nothing, Auburn's good, but very much to what Mike said, Kirby's kind of had his number against Gus Malzahn here recently. And I just feel that Bo Nix versus the Georgia defense, that's not a proposition that works out well for those clad in blue and orange. Willie P in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. All the stories that are basically kind of a hodgepodge that need basically one segment to kind of live in, we call that the kicker. And that comes your way next to close out the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Final go-around with you and me, Willie P, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929. Last chance to dance with phone calls, texts, and tweets on Twitter at Willie P Style. Through three quarters at the Swamp, Florida leading South Carolina 38-17. Tennessee 28-12 lead on Missouri. That's, again, in the top 25. Pittsburgh has finally pulled ahead of NC State, 19-17 is the score, pending the point after from the Panthers. Alabama, Texas A&M kicking off in about 45 minutes time right now. 3:30 kick at Bryant-Denny in Tuscaloosa. North Carolina, Boston College also in the 3:30 window. A couple of other games in the Big 12 as well. The big one tonight, of course, Deep South's oldest rivalry, Auburn and Georgia. Again, this is part of a real rough stretch for Georgia, three in a row here. We'll know a lot more about the Bulldogs at the end of the month of October because of the fact that they play basically in succession Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama, all three in a row there. So looking forward to trying to see how Georgia negotiates this part of the schedule. And I found what Mike Griffith said rather interesting. He says that the SEC's schedule, the fact that they do not play anything else outside of out of their conference, could possibly penalize them in the eyes of the College Football Playoff Committee. I thought that, honestly, the 10 games against SEC competition would be looked at in the eyes of the CFP as helping out the strength of schedule. I thought that, you know, having that kind of feather in your cap for the SEC, you know, I feel like a 9-1 SEC record, or even maybe an 8-2 SEC record, looks a heck of a lot better than 7-0 in the Pac-12 or 8-0 in the Big Ten. But that's just me. Especially when you look at the Big 12. How much the Big 12 has looked like garbage this year? I mean, Texas is struggling with Texas Christian right now. TCU is beating Texas right now, 23-21. So the fact that you have that particular result in your mind to look at has me look at some of the other things in other conferences and say, you know, I'd more than be inclined to snub a Big 12 or a Pac-12 team in favor of another SEC team getting to be part of the mix, especially if one is deemed worthy enough. But again, maybe that's the SEC homer in me playing that out. Again, of course, the ACC has its own situation with Clemson running roughshod over everybody. I think they play Virginia today, and even a Virginia team, too, that I look at and I say, look, they're a team that has looked very good outside of the ACC Coastal in the recent years. Yeah, they're a 28-point favorite is Clemson in that game. So that just shows you how head and shoulders Clemson is over everybody else that they play in conference. They've played Wake Forest and the Citadel and barely broken a sweat. So, you know, in my mind, Clemson getting a red carpet to the College Football Playoff, not necessarily something I look at and say is necessarily fair when you look at what else is being done on the other side of this conference here in the SEC. I'll give you my final thoughts on the Falcons in just a moment. Before we do that, the stories that are basically all hodgepodge together in one little bite-sized envelope for you, we call it the kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
Stories, again, that fare on the lighter side, news of the weird. Really, they don't fit in any other segment. Instead of calling it hodgepodge or potent potables, we call it the kicker, and it comes here at the end of the Willie P. Experience here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Found out the news last night. Unfortunately, the passing away of another icon. 2020 has not been good to the game of baseball in terms of legends that we've seen pass away. First, it was Don Larson. Then, of course, it was Tom Seaver. And then in the last couple of weeks, two members of Cardinals lore have left us in this world. First, it was Lou Brock, the sensational stolen base king for St. Louis. And then last night, Bob Gibson passed away after complications of cancer. You ask anybody of some import, when it comes to the greatest and most dominating pitcher they'd ever seen, you think about a guy who had a 1.12 ERA in 1968. Man that they had to basically change the rules of the league for because of the year of the pitcher. 9-time All-Star, 2-time world champion, an ERA below 3 in his career, struck out 3,100 pitchers, 2-time Cy Young Award winner, and also named the World Series MVP in 64 and 67. So when you think about big dominant pitchers of the era of the 60s, basically the era that's dominated by guys like Sandy Koufax, Gibson, and Seaver and the like, Bob Gibson certainly worthy of all the accolades and the plaudits. Bob Gibson has passed away, the former St. Louis Cardinal, dying of complications of cancer. He was 84. Something innovative that actually the Falcons are at the forefront of. Falcons will allow fans into their stadium for the first time this season, at least in the general public, with their Week 5 matchup against Carolina. They had a friends and family only crowd of about 500 last week against Chicago. But they'll allow about, again, 25% inside the building. And in order to get things ready for it, they are doing something somewhat innovative. They're bringing in new technology that involves drones to disinfect the stadium. They're not the only ones using new technology, however, but they're the first ones to use drones. They basically have partnered with Charlotte-based company Lucid Drone Technologies to use the drones to sanitize areas. They're basically going to be spraying nozzles of medical-grade disinfecting chemicals over all the seats. They also include an inhibitor that prevents bacteria and viruses from adhering to surfaces without leaving a residue. So, very interesting. There'll be two that'll go around the entire stadium and also have a third in case of a backup. Is drones sophisticated enough for you? Well, how about what the Carolina Panthers are doing to prepare for fans on Sunday? They have a robot. This thing basically looks like R2-D2 out of Star Wars. They will basically zap everything, from helmets to toilets to anything that has a surface, with a high-intensity ultraviolet light. Basically, again, using the Star Wars analogy, the way that Luke Skywalker would zap a stormtrooper with a blaster. That's what they're doing to try and promote a virus-free environment at Bank of America Stadium. It's called the Xenex Light Strike Robot, billed as the germ-zapping robot. They have three of those at a little over $100,000 apiece. Anything to try and prevent COVID-19. Sad thing is happening in the world of baseball when it comes to minor league baseball, and that is the fact that the Appalachian League, which included the Danville Braves, has basically converted itself from a major league affiliated league to now a collegiate woodbat league. So that takes away the Danville Braves' affiliation with Atlanta. This is part of an initiative by Major League Baseball to cut its minor leagues from 160 teams down to 120. As somebody who got his start in minor league baseball, that takes away a lot of job opportunities for people who were like me and wanted to start off in this industry, but it also takes a lot of jobs away from kids who are trying to stick it inside the major leagues. It was kind of the one league, the rookie league, that allowed guys who probably didn't have the opportunity to play in college or signed out of high school to get their first exposure to Major League Baseball, at least at the minor league level. And it's unfortunate that teams of that nature, I know Kingsport, Tennessee has one. We mentioned Danville and a couple others that have had long-standing minor league affiliations that now will be basically delegitimized and turned into collegiate woodbat teams. Not the same thing, at least in my mind. And finally, this story out of Regina, Saskatchewan. An unusual case of shoplifting. Saturday, the 26th of September, so a week ago at about 4:20 p.m., police are asking the public to identify a perpetrator that involved two men and a woman walking out the door with cash, as well as Crest white strips. So they took cash and Crest white strips. Maybe they just had bad teeth, but they stole thousands of dollars worth of the teeth whitening products away from this Regina, Saskatchewan, basically looked like a Target, so to speak. Basically the Canadian equivalent of a Target. That's one of the most peculiar thefts that I've seen when these News of the Weirds pop up. What are you going to do with all those white strips? Honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And that is the kicker for Saturday, the third day of October 2020. A final thought on the Falcons before I part your company for this week. Look, there's nothing that I've seen over the course of the last 3 weeks that causes me to pick the Falcons this weekend. But it would be just the ultimate thing for this team to do, like we saw last year in week number 9 against New Orleans, to come out, play a complete football game, and just blitzkrieg the Green Bay Packers. There was no rhyme or reason to that victory over the Saints last year. I would argue the same was true of their victory over the 49ers. And that was a 49er team that went and played and represented the NFC in the Super Bowl. You got two wins against teams who had no business beating last year, and it saved Dan Quinn's job going into 2020. I'm not saying a win over the Packers could do the same thing, but you have played good enough over four quarters, at least four separate quarters in three separate games. You have put forth those kinds of efforts. You've put together four quarters good enough to beat this team that you will see on Monday night. Now, you haven't done it in a single game, and you haven't done it in the standpoint of being able to close any of those previous teams out in the fourth quarter, but I do feel the Falcons have the talent to be able to make it happen. Whether they do it or not is another story altogether. We'll talk to you on Monday night for the Falcons Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Myself and Hugh Douglas will bring you that coming up at 4 o'clock on Monday after Dukes and Bell until 6:15. Remember, Atlanta United Soccer tonight at 6:30 with the pregame, 7 o'clock with the kick between the Five Stripes and DC United. For producer Marshall Parker, I'm Willie P. Nick Kale has you next. Enjoy your college football Saturday and your NFL Sunday, folks. I'll talk to you on Monday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.